Just a couple of things that I'll note as announcement in addition to what you already have. First of all, just a note to families with children, if you find that there's a need to get up and move around a little bit, please don't hesitate to do that. There are some items in the back corner that could be helpful as a distraction if that's necessary, and we do want you to be comfortable, and we are glad that you're here. Also, just to mention that at the time of communion, if you would come forward in two lines up the center and return to your seats by way of the sides, that will help facilitate our movement. Also, if you would like to come forward but do not necessarily want to make communion, placing your arms in this way will indicate that you're requesting a blessing. There are gluten-free hosts available as well. And at the moment, we're not practicing intinction. That is, we're not dipping bread in the wine. So if it's not your wish to receive the common cup, just simply take the bread and pass by the cup. We were saddened this week to hear of the death of Canon Wally Corey. And if you would remember Lynn and members of their family in your prayers, that would certainly be appreciated by them. This morning we are having a blood pressure clinic, and I think it's going to happen up in this corner. So this is an opportunity for you to have your blood pressure checked, and you're encouraged to do that. Also, just a mention that Listen, Love, and Pray, the grief and loss support, will continue tomorrow evening at 7. So that's at the Memorial Hall, so that is on. Just a note from my wife Kelly, who offers her thanks for your cards and your wishes to her. She's still at hospital. Surgery went well on Thursday, but she had a few little issues that needed to be attended to, and she's hoping that today or tomorrow she'll be discharged. So we'll look forward to that. Also, just a word of thanks to members of the Guild of St. Joseph, who so efficiently decorated the cathedral and also removed all of that yesterday. So our thanks to you for all of that work and for that help. Gary and your whole team, it certainly makes Christmas what we usually expect at the cathedral. So thank you for your assistance in that. And I think that may be it. Is there anything else that needs to be announced? No? We're worshiping today according to the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer, and you'll find that there in your seat. And we continue now on page 67, as you kneel, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we say together, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, keep your children born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Here endeth the first lesson.
The psalm responds to the first lesson. And you'll find the text in the prayer book on page 362, Psalm 29.
Worship. A reading from the book of Acts. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here ends the lesson.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
The Gospel of Christ.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Living the baptized life is living a life with broader expectations than those we might otherwise have on our own. As a baptized member of the body of Christ, the Christian lives with a different set of standards. A set of standards that, in their living, make things possible that we don't expect. It's interesting that almost always what we see depends on what we expect to see. In the 1930s, a radio series hosted by Orson Welles was called The Mercury Theater of the Air. The 17th episode, on the 30th of October, 1938, Welles broadcasted an updated version of the H.G. Wells novel, The War of the Worlds. In the story, Martians were invading the Earth, and the program was so realistically done, people actually believed they were listening to a news broadcast describing events as they happened. It may just be a colloquial legend, but the story is told that if you go to Grover's Mills in New Jersey, the place where the invaders were proposed to have landed, you can still see buckshot markings in an old water tower there left almost a century ago. It would seem that residents who were listening to the broadcast that night went out, looked up into the dark sky, and seeing the shadows of the water tower in the night, thinking it was a spacecraft, opened fire in hopes of deterring the horrifying invasion. That night, frightened gun bearers saw what they expected to see. Expectation is a powerful force. When people came out to hear John the Baptist screeching his prophetic message knee-deep in the muddy water of the Jordan River, they were amazed to see what they expected to see. They were expecting a Messiah. That Messiah would look like the prophets of old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah. Dressed as an out-of-date prophet of a past age, people looked toward the river and they saw what they expected to see. Expectations can cause us to see something that isn't there. Barbara Brown Taylor, preacher, offers an illustration that powerfully describes the flip side of that truth. Expectations can also keep us from seeing something that is there. She says, imagine an experiment where you sit down at a table in front of an ordinary deck of cards. The experimenters flash 6 cards at you, asking you to identify them as fast as you can. 9 of diamonds, 3 of hearts, jack of clubs. Whoops, what was that one? Then they repeat the exercise, slowing down a little so that you can get the ones you missed the first time. The third time is so slow that you begin to feel like an idiot because there's one card you just can't identify. You think you know it, but you're not sure. And it's not until all the cards are laid on the table that you discover the problem. The card you couldn't identify was a 6 of spades, but it's red, not black. It's a fixed deck of cards. You can't see the red spade because spades are supposed to be black, not red. Expectation is a powerful force. We often only see what we expect to see. And expectations also cause us not to see things that are really there. And if you find yourself wondering about any of that, and if you wonder perhaps why anyone could have missed the Holy Spirit that day at the Jordan River, I'll offer you some homework. Go home and open up YouTube and search for a video called The Monkey Business Illusion. The Monkey Business Illusion. And if you like, I'll put a note about that in the description of the YouTube video, the live stream, a little later on this afternoon, and you can go back and find it. The Monkey Business Illusion. Because people expected to see a Messiah, they looked at John the Baptist and overlooked Jesus. Don't look at me, John said. The one for whom you wait is to follow, and I'm not worthy even to untie his sandal. They were looking for a Messiah who would cure the problems of the world, take up the winnowing fork, clear the threshing floor, sift the worthless chaff from the faithful wheat, and burn it with unquenchable fire. What they got was a roving preacher, supported and followed mostly by women, who healed on the Sabbath. The expected Messiah would be the one who would put down the occupying Roman forces from their positions of power and return Israel to the people. What they got instead was a teacher who, riding on a mule, would enter Jerusalem all right and stand helpless before one Pontius Pilate. The Messiah the people expected was a ruler, like David, who would rise to national power and allow Israel to return to glory days and success and comfort. What they got was a Savior who would walk the painful road to Calvary and be nailed to a cross. Jesus was the red six of spades. It's not surprising that people made that mistake that day, standing beside the waters of the Jordan River. Because if you flip a few chapters ahead in the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that even John eventually questioned if this man, Jesus, was really the promised one. "Are you the one Israel has hoped for?" John questioned. "Or should we look for another?" Jesus was the red six of spades, and it confused those who saw him. A family was interviewed on the CBS 60 Minutes back in the days when Ed Bradley was the host. He was giving the family a hard time since the story was about a religiously devoted mother, a somewhat older, shy father, and their teenage, wheelchair-bound daughter with spina bifida. Every year, the family would make a pilgrimage to a place especially known for miraculous healings. Bradley asked the daughter, "When you pray, what do you pray for?" And the daughter replied, "I pray that my dad won't be so shy. It makes him terribly lonely." And that stopped Bradley for a couple of seconds, and then he pressed on, questioning the family's wisdom in spending thousands of dollars each year to journey so far, expecting a miracle. And looking at her daughter, the mother answered, "Oh, Mr. Bradley, you just don't get it. We already have our miracle." The interviewer had his expectations. Firmly in his mind, he knew that the only miracle worth recognizing in this situation was the one he was thinking of. The expected miracle was that the daughter would get up out of her wheelchair and walk. But he missed the miracle of joy growing in a soil that should not nurture it. He missed a family upheld and sustained in the context of a great physical challenge and held together by faith. He missed the miracle of a daughter growing in love for her family in spite of tremendous obstacles. God doesn't work in the world bound by our expectations. Rather, he breaks the bounds of our narrow imaginations. Actually, Ed Bradley, like most of us, I suspect, didn't really expect any miracles. We live in a world that has, for all intents and purposes, stopped expecting them. Quite often, we're not able to see a miracle even when it stares us directly in the face. Jesus the Messiah has promised that one day the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the blind will see. One day, in ways we probably don't even expect, that little girl will get up healed in ways we can't even begin to imagine. And those of us bound by our limited expectations, who expect far too little, will be genuinely surprised. Epiphany. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in your bulletin to the insert titled Renewal of the Vows of Baptism. And as we make our way to the font, I'd invite the congregation to stand. And we'll continue with the renewal. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for that thy most dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, did shed out of his most precious side both water and blood, and gave commandment to his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the gift of water, and that thou dost raise us to new life in baptism within thy holy church. Regard, we beseech thee, the prayer of thy faithful people, that thou hast granted to us that which by our nature we cannot have, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let us renew the vows and promises of our baptism. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Ghost?
I believe in God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever thou dost fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
Will
you proclaim by word and example the gospel of God in Christ?
Will
you seek and serve Christ in all persons and love thy neighbor as thyself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
Will
you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? from the north to the south, as far as the east is from the west, I invite you to remember your baptism. Most merciful Father, we yield thee hearty thanks that it hath pleased thee to receive thy people by thy Holy Spirit for thine own by adoption and grace. Grant that, being born again and made heirs of everlasting salvation, they may continue thy servants and attain thy promises through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Thank you.
Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. This Holy Eucharist is offered in praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. During this season, we give thanks for the many and various epiphanies that we experience as the Lord Christ is manifested in his glory to the world. We pray, as always, for the coming of God's Holy Spirit and his presence with us in all that we do. As you kneel, let us pray for Christ's Holy Catholic Church.
We look in faith and expectation today towards the Lord Jesus, God the Son, the one who says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." In confidence and expectation, let us intercede on behalf of the world and ourselves, saying, "Lord, hear our prayer." Today, in particular, we pray for the Church of the Province of West Africa and their primate, Dr. Cyril Kobina Ben-Smith, for our Anglican Church of Canada and Acting Primate Anne Germond, for the Diocese of Eastern Newfoundland and Labrador, their Bishop Sam, the Diocese of Ho, Bishop Matthias, for our Archbishop David, for Dean Jeffrey, Debbie, Isabel, John, and Rod, for all who lead the believing community throughout the world, that all Christians might be faithful apprentices of Jesus, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all those preparing for baptism and for their families, and for the newly baptized, that they might draw closer to Jesus, the light of the nations, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For real sight for those who are blind to God's impartial love, for reconciliation among nations, races, creeds, and all that can divide us, for King Charles, for Justin, and all leaders of nations and giant corporations, for the gifts of unity and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the consolation and support of all who are imprisoned, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, and for those who live in fear or anxiety amid all the uncertainty in this world, that the Holy Spirit will lead us all in the way of truth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are ill, especially in our cathedral prayer list, Althea, Donna, Charles, Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David, Janice, Dolph, David, Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, and the others who are on your hearts. For the Corey family, and for those who are dying and those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For help and conviction towards restoring this earth, for those suffering from natural disaster, particularly for protection over those fighting the fires in Los Angeles, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the baptized gathered in this cathedral, that we might follow in the path of John the Baptizer, acknowledging Jesus as Lord, and living as those baptized by water and the Holy Spirit, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
All loving and ever faithful God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Redeemer. Hear the prayers of his disciples and answer them in his name, Jesus, your beloved Son and our beloved Lord. Amen.
We continue with the Thanksgiving and consecration on page 78.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, Creator and Preserver of all things, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in substance of our mortal flesh manifested forth his glory, that he might bring us out of darkness into his own marvelous light. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, Almighty Father, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Continuing on page 85, as you kneel, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Glory be to God on high.
Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us depart.